Morning, Brian. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jared.
Yeah, great to have you on the show, mate. And take us through your 80 minutes watching that semi-final against Parramatta on Saturday night.
That's the longest 80 minutes I've ever spent, I think, watching that. It was just a great game of football, and we were the lucky ones to come away with a win. Either side could have won the game, and so we're thankful for that. And now they're preparing to take on Melbourne on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a wonderful contest, Brian. I think it was one of the, if not the game of the year, close to it. But it was a different style of football we've seen in the past. You know, we know that, Parramatta like to be bruising, but Penrith, you know, they absorbed a lot of punishment but gave a lot out themselves. And, you know, Penrith over the last couple of years, we've known them to be a flamboyant side, a team that can score a lot of points. But they did it on the back of their defence on the weekend.
Yeah, no, their defence was great. And they've got a massive pack of forwards, Parramatta, and to be able to stop them was a great effort. And there was never going to be a lot of points in it because they're both very good defensive sides. So it was a great game, and I think the TV ratings and everything else show you that there's a lot of people enjoyed that game.
Brian, from your end, mate, how's the expectation been this year? Again, making the grand final last year, a wonderful start to the season. So many of your players being a part of that Origin series. From your perspective, has there been any extra pressure?
Yeah, Michael, no, not at all, because it's a very young side. They only average 24 years of age.
So yeah.
To get to a grand final last year was a great effort. So you couldn't see them sort of going backwards at, with the average age of the side. So no, they all expected to hopefully be back on grand final day again this year with a bit of luck. They've got one game to go now against Melbourne, and we had to play Melbourne somewhere, so it might be better to play them before the grand final than on the grand final day. So,
yeah, I disagree.
No, the future of the average age is great, and we can look forward to the team performing well for a few more years in the future.
What about, mate, there's been a bit of talk about, I hate this word, arrogance, because I feel like a lot of the time with the best players in the world, they have an inner confidence and a self-belief that sometimes the perception's arrogance on certain people and certain players. But I feel like this Panthers team, they have their own style, they have their own way about, you know, going about things. And, you know, there's been some talk in the media that there is a bit of an arrogance there. You deal with these guys every day. Can you tell us a bit more about the players individually and how they are to deal with?
Look, Michael, there's no arrogance in them at all. That's only media talk. As I said, they only average 24 years of age, so they're only young men actually, and they just enjoy playing football. And they get overexcited at times when they score a few tries. But no, there's no arrogance. And if you see the charity work that these young fellas do out in
St.
St. Mary's area and the Penrith area, and they go to the hospitals and so forth, you'd have no hesitation in saying that they've got no arrogance at all. They're just nice people.
Brian, you mentioned that you're confident of keeping the group of players together, but obviously with success comes a price, because a lot of clubs are looking to build their rosters, and they look at players that are coming off contract, and no doubt you've got a couple of players coming off contract, and Kickow is the guy at the moment that's in the news because he's off contract at the end of next season. Are you confident now with the success that you've had and started to build that you'll be able to keep all these players together?
Well, at this stage, Laurie, we've got our roster done for 22. We've got 26 players signed, so we don't need to sign any more till the 1st of August. And yes, we would be doing everything now. Probably the only the big name one left for us to sign for the future past 22 is Viliami Kickow, and we're very confident that we'll be able to come to an agreement with his management and have him on the roster for another 3 or 4 years as well.
So you're essentially confident that he will probably shun bigger money to stay with Penrith?
Jared, I'd say he would, because a lot of players like to take a little bit of a discount to play with a side that's going well. So I think he comes under that category. He's been there ever since he was a young player, and he's got a home out in Penrith, and he's very good friends with all the Polynesian boys and so forth. So every indication is that he'll be staying.
What about your coaching staff? I mean, Cameron Seraldo, you lost Trent Barrett last year to the Bulldogs, and Cameron Seraldo has been linked to the West Tigers. And, of course, he'll be linked to a number of other clubs into the future. Are you confident that he'll be staying on staff next year?
At this stage, Laurie, yes, for sure. Like, Cameron comes up every time there's a vacancy or that looks like being a vacancy. Cameron's name gets mentioned. It was saying when the Cronulla job came up. I feel very confident he'll stay next year, and he's only a young man, so I don't think he'll be rushing into a job that's got any risk with it. So he's got the futures in his hands. So if he's patient, he can stay there, and then there might be a better job come up than if there's any around now, sort of thing. So it's probably in his hands, but him and Ivan are great mates, and Peter Wallace, so I'd say for sure that he'll be there for 22.
We're talking to Panthers CEO Brian Fletcher, and Brian, it looks as though you've got a staff member under investigation, and your reaction to the NRL investigating trainer Pete Green for potentially breaching the rules by stopping play from off the field there late in that game when Mitch Kenny went down.
Yeah, I think, I can't comment on that until the NRL, if they are investigating, and I've heard nothing at the moment. And it was just, as it turned out, it was a serious injury. So he was quite within his rights, you'd think, for the welfare of the player. Like, he got carried off, so it wasn't just a minor injury. So we'll let the NRL deal with that, and we'll see what happens.
Brian, does Penrith have a stance on the introduction of a 17th team based in Queensland?
Not really. The board hasn't discussed it, but I don't, from our point of view, if we could agree to either way, to have one or not to have one. But I think with the 17th side, as long as... I think the main thing with the 17th side is that they've got to address development. I think we're the only club that supplies all the players to the teams, and I think if more clubs do that, it wouldn't be a problem with the 17th side. But a lot of clubs that don't develop, and the NRL's been going to address this development problem for the last decade, and they haven't got around to it. So hopefully they'll do that at the same time if they do put a side in, because you'll need more clubs developing players like ourselves.
Yeah, you will, Brian. And, you know, you guys do a great job out there in Penrith. But what about the ever-increasing threat of AFL out there in the West?
Laurie, look, we don't find that a problem at Penrith, because we've got 8,500 juniors playing junior rugby league every Saturday morning. So we've got a very big pool out there, and there's a lot of rugby league clubs in all those smaller parts of Western Sydney. So I think that was sort of the talk of the town about 5 or 6 years ago, but it's sort of died down now, and we've continued to pouring, you know, plenty of dollars into our junior development, and we don't see it as a problem from our point of view.
Brian, are you continually making submissions to the NRL about getting concessions for developing players within your own club? And do you think that, you know, the NRL will be sympathetic towards that in regards to the salary cap at some point?
Jared, we talk about it all the time, but nobody can come up with the right solution. Like, you think, like, if you're supplying players to other teams and they come and take them off our roster when they come out of flag, that we'd be entitled to reimburse the costs that we've developed those players. And but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. I think they need to, you know, combine it with the 17th side and say, boys, we'll come on. You know, we've got to reward these people who develop players. And over the last decade, like, we've spent $50 million outside the cap in rugby league at Penrith. Now, admittedly, a lot of that's on development, but we've wasted a lot of it too. We've made some bad decisions. But it's a lot of money, and for a 17th club to come in and it costs them nothing for development, it just doesn't sit right with our board. So hopefully they'll address it at the same time as if they do have a 17th side.
How are the Panthers looking financially, Brian? You know, with shutdown of the league's club and things like that over the last 2 years, how challenging has it been for your group?
Like, Laurie, it's a big challenge. We've got five clubs, and normally we bank $2.8 million a week. Well, at the moment, we're banking about $200,000 a week. We've only got one club open at Port Macquarie. So it's been a big burden on us. We were lucky when the last stage of the pandemic happened. We were able to stockpile some cash and put it away because we thought there'd be another one coming. And it's put us in a good position that way, but it is a struggle, and hopefully we can get back and have all the clubs open probably by Monday, the 8th of October, we're hoping. And we can kick on from there. But it's a big struggle, and fortunately the football's been able to go ahead. And we've lost a lot of revenue from football because every game we played last year we sold out, and we had four big games at the end, which were taken up to Queensland. Unfortunately, that's still going on. So all our players are getting paid, and our coaching staff and so forth are getting paid from the grant of the NRL. But it is a struggle, but we're in a very good financial position, and we'll be able to kick on again straight away as soon as we can get opened.
Now, I know you love your horses. Normally, your eyes would be glued to the Golden Rose this Saturday afternoon. You got some competition, though.
The Golden Rose. And we're at 4 o'clock, and it's probably the same time, is it?
Yeah, we'll wait to see, but I'm sure it'll be very similar to around the kickoff time.
We might see two good things. We might see Penrith and Enemo.
There you go. You're tipping it up.
Oh, yeah, but a good horse.
Very good.
Very, very good horse.
Well, Fletch, great to have you on the show, mate. Enjoy the week, and yeah, I know there'll be a lot of feeling heading into that clash against Melbourne on Saturday afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jared.